Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today, we have Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you this morning. Any good news? Any bad news?
We have good news this morning, I think. You know, we've got to look at the positive. Well,
if it isn't all good, we'll make it good.
That's right. We will.
We'll spin it. We'll put our spin on it.
We will spin.
So, well, I guess the big news last night and all day yesterday, the crucial votes was going on to decide who the next president was going to be.
Super Tuesday.
I'm not so sure anybody became more, they might have become more convinced who is likely to be, but, you know, it wasn't a deciding factor because everybody knew how the primary would go. But there were some interesting things because probably the biggest news that came out of it, Haley gave up. She's not going to run anymore. Yeah. But you know what? I had after I heard about that, I went to bed and then I had this dream that she became partners with Victoria Nuland. They're both changing jobs.
That's right.
So
yeah,
we have to watch out about
Could be.
And they've both been on both sides, so they're people who bring people together.
They do.
But anyway, it was interesting, and I found something interesting is that who voted for her?
Yeah.
And it turns out that Trump didn't lose very much.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, it took votes away from Biden, you know, because there were Biden supporters and they thought they could undermine the election by planting somebody over there and get a ton of votes. But that didn't work. But it also shows that the pro-war people are maybe on the defensive. If she was our pro-war candidate or substituting for that, she didn't do so well. And there are some polling that shows that there may be an indication that especially young people might be weaning off some of this warmongering stuff, which is what I've always argued. Do it before another war starts. Of course, they've already, the big problem we have is they already have it in the can. They'd have something else planned. You know, we hear them talking about the end of the war in Ukraine. So we have to plan on what to deal with on this and maybe admit our faults. But anyway, this was an interesting night. They moved one step forward, but I think it comes out with Trump overwhelmingly winning. And, Trump has his ups and downs and his personality, but if you're in politics, how can you do much criticism? You might, for social reasons, say, why does he have to make all that noise? But I would always hope that, the negatives that he gets, maybe he could soften that. Now he's now a gentleman and he can approach it. But I'm not expecting that to happen. Matter of fact, people would say, how do you think he got there? By being gentle?
Yeah, really.
But anyway, our goal is to try to describe and defend a position that means that we're going to have less government and more liberty. And he at least has been willing to talk to a few people on our side. He talked to my son, you know.
That's
so
right.
That doesn't mean much has changed, but it's still something. What I think he does is if politically it's advantageous, that's okay. But there's nothing wrong with that because if it's politically advantageous not to be a warmonger, that's good. That's why, some good will come of this. And right now there are other limitations that I talk about all the time, and that is the frustration with war, the loss of liberty, and the financial crisis we're in helps bring some of this mess to an end.
Yeah, let's put up this first clip. This is from the Wall Street Journal. This tells you that Nikki Haley to exit Republican presidential race. There's Nikki. She's going down. She won only two places, D.C. and Vermont. D.C., well, that wasn't probably a big win for her. We talked about it yesterday. That would have been a great commercial if it was closer. Trump could have put an ad in. And Vermont, we'll talk about that in a second because there are some interesting statistics out of Vermont, the Vermont win. But I think the real lesson, and maybe we're just kind of glossing this a little bit, but why not, is she's the most hawkish candidate that we've had in a long time. She is across the board, any problem, shoot it. That's basically her philosophy, you know. Kill it. Finish it. Well, that's her philosophy. So I think the resounding rejection of Nikki Haley. Now, it was a number of things that didn't appeal to the American voter. But that was a big issue. She made that the center of her campaign. So I think the rejection of Nikki Haley is good news for us. It's also good news because it shows that the Romney wing of the party, the Rhino wing, the old school wing, the old reflexively neocon wing of the party, I think is on its back heels. And I think we're seeing that. We're seeing, we've talked about this on the show over and over, we're seeing the rise of folks who are, while not perfect, people like Vance, Green, Gates, and others. They're not perfectly anti-war. However, they're more populist. They're more attuned to, I think, the American national interest than the old guard, which is only attuned to the military-industrial complex. Now, again, we don't want to gloss it over, but overall, I think it's a good sign that this kind of populist anti-war movement in the party is on the ascendance. And as you said in your opening, Dr. Paul, if Trump is smart, he'll listen to the voters who reject Nikki and be the anti-Nikki.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That boosts his numbers a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is, you know, good. But one of my complaints has been, if I think about this in a careless manner, is she has no philosophy. She doesn't believe it. She doesn't talk about freedom and sound money and non-interventionist foreign policy. But then I got to thinking, that is not exactly the thing. Some people would say, no, she's the kind of people we want. And, you know, you'll hear him say, she can work with the Democrats.
Oh, yeah, she sure
because
can.
Because she's a Democrat. So the argument goes that but I think basically the problem is people like this, even though they're all over the place, they have no philosophy. And since there's no right and wrong in their life, they can just go wherever they want, which is ever advantageous. So that's why I always considered it a little bit hypocritical, but I understand it, and there's nothing wrong with it, is after you rant and rave and condemn your opponent, then you join them immediately afterwards. You know, that always baffles me that they, it's just like the vice president we have now.
Yeah.
I mean, she was the sharpest and the worst on the stage.
Yeah.
She was the sharpest critic of Biden. Yeah. So what did they do with her? She has other qualifications.
So
what we need to do is she can get a lot of votes for us, but just keep her off the stage.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, the thing is, and I don't know if it's changed since I read it last, but Nikki Haley has not pledged to support Trump as president. You know, she stepped down, but she hasn't endorsed him. So I think, and I think I may have said it yesterday, something else that I read, you know, she may be considering an independent run. I mean, that may be her last, the old saying about a woman scorned, maybe that has something to do with it. That may be her last hurrah. She could take down Trump, maybe, because she was getting a lot of Republican money, a lot of Rhino money. If she did a run, maybe she'll join Vicky, like you said. Her and Vicky, a female tag team, and just take enough votes
away.
Sorry,
I mentioned that.
I know. We're giving her ideas.
Yeah.
She's listening. But anyway, here's an interesting little dive into the nature of Haley's votes. And I think this doesn't bode well for that in the future. Let's put this up. This is from Zero Hedge, if we can. The headline is, as Haley ends Republican race, the survey finds 92% of her voters approve of Biden's performance. And that, I think, is pretty damning. If you go to the next one, this is from the article. They're quoting the Federalist's Sean Davis. The exit polls about Nikki Haley's voters' views on Biden and the economy are wild. The results, which are from Virginia, show 92% of Haley voters approve of Biden's performance, and 87% of her voters say they're satisfied with how things are going in America right now. Sounds to me like they're Democrat voters or neocon Never Trumper voters.
You know, I was looking at her statement that the Wall Street Journal quoted, Nikki Haley plans to suspend her Republican presidential primary.
Yeah.
She left an opening there.
Yeah,
maybe there would be something else open to her.
So. So you never know, but again, I mean, I think we can take some comfort in the fact that she was rejected. And just as a reminder of what a horrible hawk she was, I know this is really going to be tough for our listeners and for us, but let's listen into a famous, most recent little outrage, little diatribe of Nikki Haley. I don't know if we can cue that video. And it's thankfully, it's only 20-some seconds, but just a reminder of what we're dealing with Nikki Haley.
Why Ukraine needs us when Russia's doing this. That's why Israel needs us when Hamas and Iran are doing this. And I'll say this to Prime Minister Netanyahu, finish them. Finish them. Hamas did this. You know Iran's behind it. Finish them. They should have hell to pay for what they've just done.
Okay. You know what hit me on that is she never mentioned American citizens who are suffering. They need more liberty here
at home.
She had a whole list of people that she was going to take care of.
Yeah.
That sounds like she believes in globalism.
She wanted to go to war with Iran after the October 7th incident in Israel. So finish her. Finish her. She's done. Well, here's another bit. This is a good news Wednesday, actually. Here's another bit of good news. This is from our friends at the Libertarian Institute. A new Gallup poll came out today, and it's got pretty good news on it. Let's just, we'll just show the headline so you can see where it came from. This is Kyle Anzalone from the Libertarian Institute. Poll shows young Americans' support for Israel plummeting. Let's go to the next one and look at the tabs here. Changes in favorable ratings of Israel and the Palestinian Authority by age. Now you see, among people 18 to 34 years old, the favorable views toward Israel have plummeted from 64% favorable in 23 to only 38% favorable in 2024, a 26 percentage point drop in favorableness toward Israel among young people. And I think this was probably equally encouraging. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, Dr. Paul. But asking the same question for the 18 to 34 year olds about whether they view the Palestinian Authority favorably, that has also dropped by 4 points. Now, not as dramatic, maybe I'm misreading, but to me it almost looks like young people are saying, look, a pox on both of their houses. I'm not interested in Israel because they're dragging us into war. I'm not interested in the Palestinian Authority. I just don't care.
You know, I make fun of what goes on. And I said, how do these wars start? Oh, it's easy. You get a bunch of teenagers out there having fun, and they say, you know, things are boring tonight. Why don't we call across this state line or, you know, international line? We'll go and see our friends and such and such other. Why don't we have a little war? We could have some fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way they act. But that is not the way it works. They don't do that. It's a bunch of connivers that we talk about all the time and try to point out who's doing this real planning. And there's so many guilty parties there, and the ones that have never voted against one nickel going to militarism, they can't be helpful to the American Republic.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I would say we could actually put those numbers back up. The youth is the most dramatic, and I think it's important. That means that the kind of stranglehold that we have on our foreign policy towards money and weapons, et cetera, to Israel is weakening. But also it's across the board. You got the 35 to 54 years old, 11% down, 11 points down. And even the boomers, 55 plus, they're down 3 percentage points. And all categories for Palestinian Authority is down. So to me, I don't know, Dr. Paul, it just seems like the American people have had enough. They're sick of it. They want to get out.
That's good, and we will encourage them too. Yeah. But we have to encourage the attitude in this country so people will look for their information other than, you know, I think we're better off about where they're getting their information, because when it was three networks, that was one thing. But now, more and more, I think our side is getting, you know, access to a broader distribution of information. And as much as we worry about and have been on the receiving end of the internet and the punishment they think they can pass out to us, I don't think they'll be able to do it. I just think that technology is here to stay. Information is getting out, but people have to be discretionary on what they listen to, you know. And I always like to compare it to pamphleteering that they did in the revolutionary time. They did it and they achieved it and they passed them out, but they had to be discreet on which ones are they going to believe, and, you know, and evidently it was very effective.
Yeah, as you were saying that, I kind of figured out why, because look at network television. It's a mental prison. Oh, I'm a Democrat. I like to watch Rachel. Oh, I'm a Republican. I want to put on Fox News. But like you were saying, with the internet revolution and people getting their news in different ways, I think people are thinking outside the box. I think you all have fans of Tucker Carlson watching Glenn Greenwald. You know, oh my gosh, he's on the right, he's on the left. I think they're watching, people are watching the Judge Napolitano more than ever. They're crossing over these artificial lines of left or right, R or D. Yeah, and that's encouraging.
And it gets worse. And this comes from the concept of pure democracy. You have to get up to that 51%, not to protect your liberty, but to spend the money and control things. But you know, what we see here, and the other thing that's always annoyed me is hyphenated Americans.
Yeah,
you know, well, yeah, they do. I think I've had people in my district that might be more farmers and others manufacturer, and they say, well, I remember once the media come out, how are you going to talk to the farmers and the manufacturers? Yeah. How, because you'll have to change. Why should you do that? If liberty is important, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And the real diversity is individualism. Yeah. People allowed and not curtailed in doing what they want and owning their own property and having a say about who's going to march off to fight wars that are senseless. And that's what we have to have. And this whole thing that, oh, we'll legislate some of this DEI and all this business, and all of a sudden we'll have diversity,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, right.
That's not likely to happen that way.
Yeah, well, you know, as Trump's gotten some pretty good news with this, and the Supreme Court ruling, which I think we talked about, good news for him down the board. Biden is not getting a lot of great news. First of all, the whole Israel-Gaza thing is just out of hand. He can't control it. His vote, we'll talk about this in a second, the economy. Let's look at this as even Politico, which, you know, you and I read it, but it is definitely, it has a bias. I mean, it's very pro-Democrat. Everything is tilted. They don't like Trump. Nevertheless, you know, they'll put out interesting stuff. Let's put this next one up. Four reasons the latest polls are awful for Biden. And there are four things that are just bad news. And I think, Dr. Paul, he's just, these aren't something you can wiggle your way out of, you know?
No, and you got to give Politico for this. They're better than a lot of them out there, but this at least gets the information out and admits it. But, well, I guess it eventually gets so bad that they look, some of them look idiotic.
Yeah.
There's a couple that are so idiotic when they say, this is the most wonderful economy we ever had.
Yeah, I know.
So, well, even the president drifts off in that vein that thinks of, this has been the best economy we've ever had, except the people don't like it.
Well, the president drifts off a lot, but that's a different
problem. Well, they can take statistics and say, well, the economy is doing real good. There's no inflation.
Yeah.
And they just hide it. Getting to the truth is a big deal, especially when the goal of the other side is they don't believe in it and they do everything to kill it.
Yeah. Well, let's look at those four things that Politico says are big problems for Biden. Okay, let's hit that first one. Age and physical mental capacity, that continues to be an issue. I don't know if you saw this, but the president's spokeswoman yesterday, she became very irritated when they asked her, why does the president continue to rely on cue cards, even when he's answering questions? And she flipped out. She got really, really mad, you know. How dare you? I was really angry, but it is an issue. People are talking about it. His age and physical mental capacity. We saw him walking around, shuffling around on the border. He's having a tough time. Politico writes, 45% of those responded in the New York Times Siena poll said that Biden's age is such a problem that he is not capable of handling the job of president. That's almost half of America. While 26% it makes him ineffective but still able to handle the job. So it is an issue that people are talking about.
Somebody was saying that even the older people are saying that. Their explanation is reasonable, but it's not an absolute. They say when they get a certain age, they realize that people have shortcomings, and then they apply it to the president. But I think it's more to it. I think it's his status when he does have to answer questions,
So it's bad. Well, the other one is, then the next one is the economy. Now, this is where you're talking about how the mainstream media talks about how good it is. This is, they put their spin on it for sure. But despite months of good economic news and a long shot soft landing from post-pandemic inflation, I love this part, Americans can't seem to shake the feeling that the economy is in rough shape. Gee, I wonder why.
That's really, it really is sort of sadly funny,
you know,
that they can they can do that.
It's not that it is in bad shape. It's just that we just can't shake that feeling, you know.
It's always that excuse to get more and more and more. How about the falsehoods and this war is doing well?
Yeah.
I mean, I heard that for so long during the 60s. Oh, we're just around the bend. It's victory in Vietnam, you know. And we've never lost a war and we're not going to start now.
Yeah.
We'll just have to kill a few more. Yeah. Oh, we'll change parties. Well, the new party was never been as bad as the old party running these wars.
Exactly. So. Well, I can't shake that feeling every time I go to the store and look at the prices because they're going up. Well, let's look at the third one. Now, this is a big one, I think, too. Immigration. Now, Politico does put their spin on this one as well, if we can put that up. Top issue for voters in the Wall Street Journal poll was immigration. That's bad news for Joe Biden, for sure. He says, though Biden has escalated his rhetoric on the issue, punting the blame on congressional Republicans who recently blocked a bipartisan border bill, voters still seem to believe that Trump would do more to stem the flow. And I think that is just completely obvious that he would.
You know, I don't know it all in detail, but for a president to have some authority to defend our country, if they see this as an invasion, that it shouldn't be hard to negotiate. But he has this authority. He used it to make it much, much worse. But all of a sudden now, they ask the president, his political people, they come up with, why don't you do something? Well, the Republicans, they wouldn't give us the money. But they have the Congress. For so long, they were spending the money. And they do it all with a straight face. Yeah. That's what's so bizarre. I think they get to the point they can't have a conscience. Because if they did, they could never sleep.
That's true.
They just go on and on. But one lie is followed by a bigger lie.
Yeah, that's it. Well, the last one they point out to, which is going to be a headache for Biden if we put it up, and that's head-to-head. Trump beat Biden in a head-to-head matchup in all four of the major polls out this weekend, but only by a few points. Well, that's all it takes. Hopefully there won't be any cheating this time. But so there's four big problems for Biden as he looks ahead, and I don't see how he's going to solve any of these, you know.
No. It's going to take him a while to do it. The only thing, if you were doing this as a historian and an analyst, it wouldn't be so mushy as it is here. If you have a new president put in, and the next day there's a serious economic event, the new president, look at what he did.
Yeah.
But even as bad as Biden is, he didn't create all this mess. This mess has been boiling for a long time.
Yeah.
Interventionist foreign policy. How long have we been fighting wars without the Congress being involved? You know, since 1945.
Yeah.
You know, so we've gone on and on. So it's something that they just have to face up to, that there's a lot that we can do, but who knows when they're going to wake up.
Yeah. Well, the last thing we wanted to talk about is about kind of still about Biden's woes. And this is a phenomenon that seems to be catching on. And if I were him, I'd be worried about it. Let's put this next one up. And this is also from Politico. Biden can't quite shake the protest vote, even on his big night. And this, Dr. Paul, is people that are voting uncommitted. They're not voting against Biden. They're voting. They're Democrat voters that go into the polls. But they're voting uncommitted, so he doesn't get those delegates. You can actually leave it up if you don't mind. And the reason why they're doing this is because his handling of the Middle East. And this is a key constituency for the Democratic Party, and he's losing it. This is the progressive wing. Joe Biden had a big night on Super Tuesday, but the evening came with a fairly clear warning that the discontent within the party over his handling of the Gaza war is quite real. Now, do the next one if you can. This is more about that. Now, this is from Fox News. Of course, they think it's gleeful. Uncommitted protest vote against Biden draws tens of thousands on Super Tuesday. And do this next one, because a few days before Super Tuesday was the Michigan primary. And that was key, because there's a lot of Muslim voters in Michigan, and they wanted to send a message. Their goal, I think, was 20,000 uncommitted. Here is from the Politico article. Why it matters. Oh, this is from Axios, sorry. The movement came over 100,000 Michigan Democratic primary voters in February cast ballots for uncommitted in protest of the Biden administration's support for Israel's government in its war with Hamas.
you know, this is good, and it moves in that direction because of all the frustration and the stupidities that go on. But it really doesn't answer the question of what kind of a foreign policy we are. They're still, if they can change it, they'll have intervention in the favor of one side versus the other. And what we have done for 30, 50, 70 years is we always support both. We support both and we make money on it. And then then after we blow up a country, then we say, we'll rebuild it. They're already talking about how they're going to gobble up Ukraine and rebuild Ukraine. So it's criminal. But it has to be, you know, if one faction demonstrates better than the other faction, you know, it's important, because I was sort of impressed that there were that many Palestinian supporters that there were, and I assumed that there would never be, you know, a challenge to Israel. And so it is changing, but that's just a sign that the policies don't work, and they're not talking about even Stephen on how you treat people.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time when Israel was treated much differently, and it wasn't dependent on every single statement ever made since 1948.
Yeah.
And they had to follow the rules, and they ended up there's no peace in the Middle East with all that planning to be done.
Yeah.
Non-interventionism and all the things that we do in our life would be a good way to go.
I mean, there's no one with a brain who can fail to see the grotesque hypocrisy of giving Israel 20,000 bombs and then dropping a couple meals for the Palestinians. You know, have your final meal. You know, it's people see through it.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. Anyway.
Hard to justify.
Anyway, so we got some good news today, and that's good. And I want to thank our viewers for watching the show. Please hit that like button, whether you're watching us on Rumble or on YouTube or anywhere else you're watching us. And if you're not subscribed to our channel anywhere you watch us, please do subscribe so we can continue to grow the show and bring you information that's a little bit different than you might be seeing elsewhere.
Yes, and I think you're absolutely right about there's a group of people now growing weary of the wars going on. And in the 60s, the demonstration of being anti-war and anti-Vietnam War was the demonstrations, which got massive and violent, and there were a lot of, 1968 was a bad year for the Democrats. So the same thing isn't happening, because there's sometimes now there's divisions, and as is a result of politicking and you know, these people that grow get into groups, instead of saying, well, we should be just minding our own business, and if you're going to give away money, you know, in the past, every once in a while, I'd get a question, well, what are you going to do? They're over there fighting and killing, and my relatives are over there. I say, but that doesn't give you the right to send my kids over there. But if you want to go, we should have no rules against it. Just go ahead and do it. And take your congressman with you if he voted for this nonsense.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not likely to happen. Do you have a finish?
No, I'm done, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm just about done, too, because I really agree with the points Daniel's been making today, that there has been a shift and they're beneficial. And even though you could put a positive or a negative on it, the people are waking up, and the sooner they wake up, the better, because war serves nobody's interests except the special interests, the people who want power and money. And they're the enemy of liberty. And right now, they're on the ropes, because we're running out of power. We're running out of wealth, too. So I think there is a shift, and it usually happens. But unfortunately, it ends with a lot of blood and a lot of sweat and tears. And right now, we don't know which way this is going to go. But it doesn't have to go badly. People just have to change their mind a little bit sooner about fighting these wars. And what we do is report on the times we see this sign that people are sick and tired of it and like to see something else. So even though this is not a perfect election yesterday, it does indicate there's some noise going out there, which is saying they've about had enough of the perpetual war. And that's why we are hoping and praying that when Trump is in the office, which it looks like he will be, that he will take an approach, because he has expressed some of the support that we're talking about, that he keeps going in that direction. But I do want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.